It's a Tuesday edition of the Maya Ag Life Daily News Report. Welcome and thank you for tuning in. I'm your host, Lori Boyer. Taylor Charlstrom will be in with a feature report, and I'll have a look at regional and national agricultural news, beginning with regional ag news, right after this word from our sponsor.
Don't miss your opportunity to attend the only event of its kind taking place this summer. Join us on June 21st, 2023 in Modesto, California for the Crop Consultant Connect event. The Crop Consultant Connect event will bring you and many of your independent crop consultant peers together. You'll also get access to virtual CE hours as an exclusive thank you for attending this event. Your registration includes breakfast, lunch, coffee, snacks, as well as a wealth of information you're able to glean from this experience. Please visit progressivecrop.com for more information. Join us on June 21st in Modesto, California for the Crop Consultant Connect event.
Vertical farming company Plenty has built an agricultural site that spans 95,000 square feet in Compton, California. The farm is designed to grow up to 4.5 million pounds of leafy greens annually without sunlight, dirt, or pesticides, yielding up to 350 times the amount produced per farm, yielding up to 350 times the amount produced per acre of a farm field. Plenty is not a greenhouse or an indoor field. Using dozens of patents, the farm is designed to germinate, sow, plant, produce, harvest, and package leafy greens, baby arugula, baby kale, crispy lettuce, and baby spinach with the use of robotics and artificial intelligence software. Instead of stacked flat trays to grow greens, the company's vertical architecture places the plants in a tall vertical tower that can be carried by machinery through the facility. The vertical model, based on how plants grow in all directions in nature, suspends the towers from mobile bars on the ceilings and allows Plenty to grow far more than traditional farms and greenhouses in a smaller space, with 3 million plants able to grow at a time in the propagation rooms. The produce doesn't have to be washed. No dirt, skin, or bugs have ever touched it, and has a minimum shelf life of 2 weeks after packing due to its short time in transit, delivered to stores within a one-day drive of the farm. The Compton farm is Plenty's first location outside an extensive research and development facility in Wyoming. They do have a smaller grow room in San Francisco, which the company confirmed it will close this year to shift local commercial production to Compton. Plenty, which has more than $1 billion in funding invested in its science and technology, has 75 plant scientists responsible for producing the greens that will thrive in the indoor environment, as well as a soil made from coconut core and the optimized artificial light recipe, as Plenty Communications Director Aaron Santee described it. Plenty produce is being sold at Bristol Farms, Northern California Whole Foods Markets, and local grocers in the city of Compton. The company's anchor partner is Walmart, which will sell Plenty produce under a Walmart brand, Market Side Beyond, to be sold in Southern California Walmart stores. Plenty produce is also a featured meal ingredient on all Singapore Airlines flights out of Los Angeles International Airport. Growers and shippers in the Pacific Northwest are looking to welcome a larger cherry crop compared to 2022, which saw 12.4 million boxes. The initial estimates could be between 20 to 21 million case crop in the Northwest. Mother Nature has been good to them right now with 90 degree days and 60 degree nights, so they've been having perfect weather of warm days and cool nights, according to Don Roper with the Honey Bear Brands. He says they are through the risk period of the cold weather, and now the only thing that would be an issue is the rain and wind throughout the season, which is typical of their cherry season. He says they are profiled to have a large crop out of Washington. Like many crops this year, the crop will start slightly later than normal. Dark sweets or red cherries should start between June 12th and the 15th. Those are going to be the first pickings, and then about a week later, there will be bigger volumes. They'll have strong promotable volumes in July, and they expect the season to go through the end of August, according to Roper. The season will start in a Tri-City, Oregon area, and the harvest will move its way up north. Rainer, or yellow cherries, typically start 10 to 12 days later, and this year are expected to begin around June of 2022 to 2023. The six-week season should go until mid to late May. All of this is good news for growers and retailers given the last few years that have been challenging for cherry seasons. It's exciting because it should give them good promotable volume with good strong retail price points to drive sell-through. Roper says if they harvest a 20 to 21 million box crop, they'll see aggressive cherry retail prices all summer long. Well, citrus is often considered a winter fruit and tends to be promoted as such. There are summertime promotional opportunities, and organic lemons are leading the way. This solid supply is partly due to the fact that during the summer months, organic lemons are available from three different points of origin: California, Mexico, and Argentina. Supplies from these locations overlap, giving buyers multiple options from which to choose at various times throughout the summer. Also playing an important role this season were the generous rains in California in the winter and spring. All of that rain has helped the trees and should continue to help over the next couple of years. That according to Miles Chasser, a fruit buyer for Four Seasons Produce in Ephrata, Pennsylvania. He says they are seeing a better organic lemon market than they've seen in the last 2 or 3 years. Organic lemons will definitely offer outstanding promotional opportunities for retailers, but they won't be the only citrus crop in good supply over the next few months. As for the Valencia oranges crop, the length of the organic navel season is especially important to the organic Valencia crop, which is the traditional summer orange. He says most retailers don't switch to Valencias until the navels are gone. He said that scenario is working well for Valencias, which has a smaller crop this season. In addition, growers have told the Four Seasons buyer that the significant 2022 to 2023 winter rain should have a positive impact on the size of the 2023 to 2024 crop. That again should work in favor of the smaller California Valencia crop, meaning it will not have to carry the orange merchandising load at retail for an extended period of time past summer. Organic mandarins are on the tail end of their season in California right now, with fairly good supplies in play until the end of June. Varieties such as W. Mercat Tangelos and Gold Nugget are carrying the organic specialty citrus load as the season winds down. Napa County saw an increase in the gross value of all agricultural production in the county, totaling $894,295,500 in 2022, a 19.9% increase from the previous year. Agricultural Commissioner Tracy Cleveland released the numbers as part of the 2022 Napa County Agricultural Crop Report during a May 16th Board of Supervisors meeting. The total value of the 2022 wine grape crop was $890,911,400, up 20.1%, or $149,179,400 from the previous year. Total wine grape production increased by approximately 10,613 tons, or 8.8% from 2021. The total wine grape tonnage for the 2022 bearing acres was at 13.5%. That was lower than the previous 10-year average. However, the total wine grape value was 22.5% higher than the previous 10-year average. The average price paid per ton of all wine grapes was $6,794,000. That is a 10.4% increase from 2021. In 2022, the highest average price paid for a major Napa County wine grape variety was $10,419 per ton for Cabernet Franc. There were 1,210 bearing acres of Cabernet Franc in 2022.
AgroPlante is the leading manufacturer in specialty products. AgroPlante formulates products that rise to the challenge of today's growing conditions. Saline and sodic soils reduce crop yield and cause significant crop losses. AgroPlante developed Cation EX5 Plus with growers in mind to manage soil salinity. With multiple years of research, Cation EX5 Plus has proven to be an excellent source of calcium and an effective soil salinity manager. Run it through drip irrigation without any issues. Simplify your application method with innovative and efficient formulations. Alleviate salinity stress with Cation EX5 Plus. AgroPlante. Imagination. Innovation. Science in action.
The California Department of Food and Agriculture and the California State Board of Food and Agriculture recently announced a robust plan for the future, Ag Vision for the Next Decade. Karen Ross, Secretary of the California Department of Food and Agriculture, provides some context and background for this plan and why it is needed.
Ag Vision is actually a planning process that began in approximately 2009 by the State Board of Food and Agriculture. It was a way of bringing a diverse set of ag stakeholders together to really focus on what is our vision for agriculture. And at that time, we were thinking Ag Vision 2020 and really trying to think ahead of how do so many diverse stakeholders, how can we help state a plan that could help bring us all together on the things that we want to work towards. And so that process began in 2009. I was a member of the state board at that time, ironically, and led some of those efforts before I went to DC. And it was finalized and presented to incoming Governor Brown when he was elected a year and a half later. And so the state board has used it as a way of creating their monthly meeting agendas, the forums that they want to host to bring people together around key issues that agriculture is dealing with and agriculture is focused on, as well as those experts that could help equip us for the challenges that we face for the future, especially climate change as one of those. So it was updated in 2017, and we went through a process that began before COVID, so it's been a bit delayed, to do a lot of interviews and surveys of agricultural stakeholders, ag organizations, as well as this is the first time we actually had our facilitator interview some of my colleagues, for example, the secretaries of natural resources, the Labor and Workforce Development Agency, and the Environmental Protection Agency, because so much of their work, the regulations that they're implementing, touch every farmer and rancher in California. And we came up with this updated version, which still maintains our purpose. And the purpose of California agriculture is to make California a better place to live because of what we grow and how we grow it.
Ag Vision focuses on five priority areas that range from encouraging climate smart practices to increasing the overall understanding of agriculture among consumers.
So we have five priorities. They're not listed in any priority area, but the first one is our commitment and our desire, building on the work that we've already done, for healthy, resilient, climate smart local and regional food systems. This really allows for agriculture to continue our great work on being a leader in solutions on the land for a changing climate. We have a strong commitment for building healthy communities. We're very lucky in California for the bounty of healthy, fresh produce that we grow in addition to dairy and our meat products. And we want to make sure that every Californian has access to that. So it's about regional food systems, local food systems, and really holds up the great work we've done on farm to school, as well as our partnership with food banks. We have a really exciting objective, which is priority number three is the next generation of tools and talents. This is looking at biological solutions, agricultural technology, and all that we can do to mentor and foster excitement and enthusiasm for new entrants into agriculture and upskilling our current workforce for the kinds of technologies that are being introduced into agriculture. A very continued commitment to enhance the understanding of and appreciation for California agriculture, everything about how we communicate, what we're doing, our respect for our neighbors, and investing in ag literacy and ag communications through programs like our California Ag Plates, which is an easy way to raise funds for ag literacy programs. And then finally, smarter regulations. That's how we collaborate with our sister agencies to look at oftentimes redundant paperwork requirements and really doing some process mapping to see if there's a better way, a smarter way, making it easier for farmers and ranchers to comply with the objectives and to try to streamline some of the paperwork burden.
Ag Vision is a comprehensive plan that will not only impact California's farmers and ranchers, but will impact all Californians.
Well, of course, everything we do is farmer-centric. I like to say farmer-rancher and farm-worker-centric because that's at the core of how we enjoy the bounty of the delicious foods and ag products that we have in California. But honestly, this is a plan that is going to touch and benefit every Californian because of our consumers, our neighbors, and every employee in our very long and complicated supply chain of inputs and what we send into the marketplace in agriculture. So if you look at this, for example, we want to be a convener of UC Ag and Natural Resources, the CSU colleges, schools of agriculture, as well as the community colleges, in a master plan for agricultural science and technology. That, I think, could really fire up the enthusiasm of many young people who never thought about ag as a career, becoming engaged and excited to be a part of agriculture. That's one way. But when you go to priority number two, which is building healthy communities, it's really that focus on making sure every Californian has access to the delicious bounty and the healthy bounty that we do, that we're really about nourishing every Californian, which our farm to school program does in a very meaningful way. So I see this as a program and a commitment that will touch every Californian. And we've already done a great job. If you look at what we've done on climate smart agriculture, over $500 million invested in healthy soils and on-farm water conservation and energy use reductions, as well as methane reductions. California farmers are leading on solutions to climate, and that also has benefit far beyond their farm and ranch.
This is Kylie Harlan reporting for My Ag Life.
Don't miss your opportunity to attend the only event of its kind taking place this summer. Join us on June 21st, 2023 in Modesto, California for the Crop Consultant Connect event. The Crop Consultant Connect event will bring you and many of your independent crop consultant peers together. You'll also get access to virtual CE hours as an exclusive thank you for attending this event. Your registration includes breakfast, lunch, coffee, snacks, as well as a wealth of information you're able to glean from this experience. Please visit progressivecrop.com for more information. Join us on June 21st in Modesto, California for the Crop Consultant Connect event.
The new House Agriculture Appropriations Bill provides $26.3 billion for total funding, $532 million below the 2023 funding level. The bill provides $17.1 billion to the Department of Agriculture, which is $8.6 billion below current fiscal year spending and $11.7 billion below the budget request. The bill also provides $8.1 billion in funding repurposed from unobligated balances from pandemic era programs. Conservative leaders in the House say the bill reins in wasteful spending by redirecting billions in American Rescue Plan and Inflation Reduction Act funding to help America's producers and rural communities. The changes include a $32 billion decrease in mandatory SNAP spending from FY23 levels due to the end of increased pandemic-era benefits and a decrease in participation rates. The proposal also estimates funding for equity initiatives and climate change and saves $1 billion by restricting the discretionary use of the Commodity Credit Corporation. Truterra LLC has announced the results of its carbon program for 2022, which paid more than $5.1 million to farmers for approximately 262,000 metric tons of carbon stored. In the first 2 years of the program, Truterra has paid more than $9 million to farmers for over 462,000 metric tons of carbon. Truterra President Tom Ryan says by working with and through Farmers Trusted Advisor, the carbon program has continued to achieve great success in its second year. The company reports that 273 farmers participating in a 2022 carbon program received an average total payment per participating farmer of over $18,000. Truterra is a self-described leading sustainability solutions provider, advancing and connecting sustainability efforts throughout the food system at scale. From farmers to ag retailers to value chain collaborators and including food and fiber companies. Truterra was launched in 2016 by Land O'Lakes Incorporated, a member-owned cooperative that spans a spectrum from agricultural production to consumer foods. USDA's first forecast for the rice crop has output up considerably. USDA Ag News reporter Gary Crawford.
If U.S. rice producers get so-called trend or normal yields, then compared to last season,
we're looking at an increase in production.
A big increase. This from USDA Outlook Chairman Mark Jekanowski. USDA projecting a U.S. rice crop of 192.7 million hundredweight, which would be about 20% more than last year.
That reflects a rebound in production of medium and short grain rice in California, where last year production, really took a hit because of the mega drought and inability to access irrigation water. That's certainly less of a concern this year, so production is back up in California.
USDA projecting a record high domestic use of rice and a 21% boost in exports. Even so, rice stocks will grow during the marketing year, sending USDA's all rice price forecast down 9% to $17.60 a hundredweight, but still
pretty strong prices.
Gary Crawford for the U.S. Department of Agriculture.
The COVID-19 pandemic in the United States disrupted the food industry in 2020, according to fresh data from USA's Economic Research Service. Inflation-adjusted total U.S. food expenditures were 6.6% lower in 2020 than in 2019. However, individual states experienced varying degrees of food spending decline. The ERS-developed state-level food expenditure series helps to illustrate annual food spending changes across states since 1997, including Washington, D.C. From 2019 to 2020, each state saw decreases in inflation-adjusted per capita total food spending. The smallest decreases in food spending were in Iowa, South Carolina, and North Carolina. The states that saw the largest decreases in inflation-adjusted per capita food spending were Hawaii, Washington, D.C., Florida, and Nevada. These states typically have large out-of-state population inflows from non-resident workers and tourists. The spending changes occurred as health concerns and mobility restrictions during the first year of the pandemic led consumers to spend less at restaurants and other eating out establishments. The Dairy Checkoff is bringing a new approach to building trust with young Americans by helping high school curriculum writers across the country incorporate accurate science behind dairy farming. The On the Farm STEM experience is co-funded by the National Dairy Council and Midwest Dairy. The effort brings leading science educators and curriculum directors to dairy farms to discover ideas that can fit into high school curriculum. Ultimately, the program created in partnership with the American Farm Bureau Foundation for Agriculture will offer a science-based counterbalance to misunderstandings about how dairy is responsibly produced by farmers and its contributions to health and wellness. National Dairy Council's Lindsay Dotlow says with education and action, today's youth will be empowered to understand how dairy foods fit into an overall healthy and sustainable food system. Some dairy-focused classroom materials already are being used in school pilot programs. The curriculum is expected to be implemented in several states in early 2024. The Senate Agriculture Committee has advanced the nomination of Zhu Xiel Torres Small to be Deputy Secretary of Agriculture to the full Senate for consideration. Torres Small was confirmed by the U.S. Senate to serve as the Undersecretary for Rural Development on October 7th of 2021. She was nominated to serve as Deputy Secretary by President Joe Biden in February, following a resignation announcement by Jule Brona, who stepped away from the role to spend more time with family.
JCS Marketing is your number one way to connect with the ag industry. Through print magazines, digital media, podcasts, and live and virtual events, JCS Marketing has the reach to inform, educate, and influence growers in the Western United States.
Everywhere you go, you see West Coast Nut Magazine on every one of my customers' tables. So that tells you everything. It's there, so they're reading it.
Our My Ag Life platform includes podcast interviews and digital articles for busy professionals on the go. Our live events, continuing education webinars, and virtual conferences help growers connect with leading researchers and industry leaders. Let JCS Marketing help you connect.
That will wrap up today's show. You've been listening to the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm Lori Boyer. From all of us here at the JCS Marketing Team, thank you for listening.